On this week's episode of Atomic Moms, you guys, we're getting out of town.
It's a wild ride. There's ups, there's downs.
There's a lot of downs. But here's the thing. You need to stay tuned because it's like real-time major mama breakthrough. I come to a big, Oprah would call it an aha moment.
aha. And I love, like, two-thirds of the way through, we get insight from our girlfriends also.
Yeah, it's pretty really cute. Session. It's pretty fun. It's a little different podcast than usual. It's just a little glimpse into our mama getaway. All right, you guys.
It's a momumentary, if you will.
Let's go.
Guys, Bianca was just snapping the microphone like a real pro. Because we're on the road.
It's like Thelma and Louise.
It's like Gail and Oprah on their road trip. We're on the road, guys. Okay, so the past 2 weeks, we did a two-parter. It was amazing. It was so fun. We had Jennifer Waldberger from Sleep Easy Solution. And then we had Jennifer Waldberger and her co-author, Derek O'Neill, for Calm Mama, Happy Baby. If you haven't listened to those two episodes, get your but on iTunes right now and download it because they're really important episodes. And now we're mixing it up. We're going spring break, Bianca birthday style.
Whoa! Wild women on the loose, flashing people, drinking. Not really. I mean, let's be honest. We'll probably be in bed by 9 tonight, but here's the great thing. You guys are going to know because we're taking you with us every step of the way. So right now, we just arrived at the Viceroy Palm Springs. You guys, this hotel is awesome.
We're not getting any sort of kickback from them. But Viceroy, if you're listening, or anyone who's listening, we'd love to go on trips and do our podcast.
We're two drinks in, people. So listen, I realize everyone out there doesn't have the time to go and do a little special girls getaway. I get
or
some,
the resources.
Or the resources. So we're going to do it for you.
With you.
Ellie, I love that. Now, as we go along, the podcast may start to lose a little bit of its form, and we're not responsible for any of that as it happens.
No, we're not. And you know what? I feel really good about this weekend because Hillary Stamm, who you may remember from an episode, the IVF episode,
yeah,
with the 3 under 2 children, she is here, and she's way more type A than me, so I'm feeling, you can hear her chuckling in the background, so I'm feeling really loosey-goosey. This could get wild.
But the main point is that this episode is all about having fun and letting loose, and maybe you can't get away for a weekend with your girls to do it. Maybe you can do a little mini version, but we're going to let you in on just some of our favorite things to do to remind us that, yeah, we had kids, but we're still us.
We're still us, and on my drive here, I missed the outlet, so I had to turn around and go back. That wasn't the point of the story, though. On my way here, I was thinking that it's really difficult for me to leave my child to go do something fun. If I think it's for work, then it's easier for me, which is probably why we're doing the podcast here, so I can sort of like justify mentally why I'm not with my daughter right now. But I'm leading by example, ladies. Let's all have fun. Sometimes it's a choice. Like, sometimes we choose not to have fun because we feel like we don't deserve it or because we have relatives that didn't choose fun in their lives.
Yeah, and listen, you know, I know people who didn't get out of the house for an evening with their girls or with their guys, you papas out there, until their kids were like 5 or 6 years old. And this is unacceptable, people. You need the best parent you
can. Give us your address. We're going to kidnap you and take you to a bar.
Feeling a little feisty. But yeah, I mean, even if it's just like an hour to go get massages with your girls or your guys or do something special for yourself. And, you know, we'll check in over the course of this little getaway. And sometimes we'll be coherent, sometimes maybe not.
And I am wearing a swimsuit right now. The top of my swimsuit is so padded. It's like there's a Tempur-Pedic mattress inside it.
You look fantastic.
I miss my breastfeeding breasts.
I know. Well, listen, you look so good. And Hillary and I were salivating over Ellie's body as she's prancing around here. But listen, we got to go get some pool time in. So we're going to check back in and possibly have some stories for you. We definitely want to have a little segment with the hot pool guy, Chris.
Yeah, he's going to have some stories. We're going to get stories out of him.
Chris, a.k.a. Liam Hemsworth.
We did say that we told him he'd be anonymous, Bianca.
Oh, shoot. Well, listen, we'll edit that part out.
Or no, we won't. We won't. I'm so sick of editing. We're not editing anymore.
All right, you guys, catch you in a few.
Bye.
We're back.
It's 12:10 a.m. We're party animals.
We feel like real rock stars right now because we're up so late.
We're up past midnight. We're cooler than Cinderella. Oh, God.
You guys, we're laying in bed together right now, which is really cute.
It's very intimate.
It's very intimate.
I apologize for the humming sound in the background. That would be the AC unit, which will be good for me because my 1.5-year-old has trained me to need a sound machine to sleep. No. I have to have blackout curtains. Bianca just got mad at me because I shut the drapes.
Every drape that's in this room has been pulled across any available window or crevice.
Which, by the way, isn't that the point? I don't think I'm weird there. Most people would shut the curtains. You want some light in the morning? I wake up the first sign of light.
I like to wake up naturally with the sun.
That's at like 6 a.m. We're in the desert. And then, so because we have a box fan in our hallway for our daughter, I'm used to that noise now. So I might have to put on like a sound machine app, like do the, you know, they've got those apps for white noise. I might need it.
So I've been so looking forward to this getaway because it's my birthday and was my birthday last week. And my husband was so sweet and planned this getaway for the girls. And I've been really looking forward to it. But I really miss Magnolia tonight. And I think it's probably because I feel a little bit guilty because, like, I know that my mom, who's staying with my husband while I'm gone, and he are probably having a bitch of a time trying to get her to stay down. Because since it's so easy for me with our co-sleeping, and I just pull her into bed with me, and they can't do that. So I just feel kind of bad knowing that they're struggling, which makes me feel even more like we need to do the sleep training, which is just kind of hard because it sucks being a parent, man. Like, I always feel like no matter what I'm doing, there's some part of it that's feels like I'm screwing somebody, either myself or her or my poor mother who's here visiting. So I feel like I never know what's the right answer. And I guess, you know, over the last two podcasts, we've learned that the right answer is what feels best in your gut. But, like, that still feels sometimes like it's maybe not the best answer.
Well, it's still hard. Like, even your gut, like, doesn't always feel easy or good.
No.
The right choice. So, for our listeners, about 10 minutes ago, Bianca was pumping while brushing her teeth, while looking at looking at an app on her phone of her daughter in her crib. And I was like, this is so amazing. The multitasking is really impressive. What's the name of the app where you get to, like,
it's called Drop Cam, and you order the camera on Amazon, and then there's an app that you can have on your phone, and then, like, so I can look at her crib while I'm here. And it can be used for anything. Like, it's a camera that can be used.
So when Sabrina's 16, I'm going to strap it in her car and spy on her.
Secretly?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
my God. If there was a camera in my car when I was 16 years old, I would be so dead right now.
Grounded.
Dead. My father would have killed me.
Well, you're lucky you got away with whatever you got away with.
I know.
Well, part of your sadness about or missing of Magnolia and Mike is also that it's like your special day here, and it's hard when you don't get to celebrate your special stuff with the most important people in your life.
Well, and also I think too, like, it's so hard with kids because when you're in it, like, there's that part of you that just thinks, like, oh, if I could just get a nap, or if I could just get a break, or if I could just get a little time to myself to take a poop. it's like you're always just thinking about, when do I get this next little thing? And then, like, you have something like this where it's like a getaway. And then you get away, and then, like, as I was going out the door and kissing them goodbye today, I was thinking, like, oh my God, I'm going to miss all this stuff mm-hmm. this weekend. And, you know, it's like you can, like, it's so funny. I feel like the juxtaposition of, like, where we started this podcast a couple hours ago, we're like, take time for yourself.
I know. I love it. The intro is like, and then we're already down. We're like, we miss our babies. I spent a good 45 minutes trying to get out of the house today, just stalling, just being like, oh, I really should. Oh, you know what I need to pack? I need to go back upstairs and get Q-tips. You know what I need? Oh, I really need this special sunscreen because, like, I know that I didn't want to leave her.
I know. It's hard.
So I come up with all these little excuses. She was having a great time downstairs with our sitter. It was fine. But I'm the one who's like, oh. And I'm like, mommy will be back. And she's like, yeah, whatever. Cool. I'm good. And I'm like, no, don't worry. Mommy will be back. She's like, yeah, I know. It's great. Don't worry, mom. I mean, she's only a year and a half. She doesn't say these things. But she gives me the look like, yeah, it's cool. We're good. And I'm like, no, no, no. Like, can you just be a little needier? I need you to hug me a little longer.
I know. It's weird. It's like there's this thing that happens when you have kids that no one can really articulate to you or convey to you about how, like, I feel like becoming a parent is to be forever torn between two places, right? Mm. Like, it's no longer just to be content wherever you are, because you're always, if you're away from them, you're worrying about them. And when you're with them, you're thinking about, like, other things that you miss. It's like the most beautiful and the most horrible thing all at once.
I was at the outlet mall. As I mentioned earlier, I had to do a U-turn because I missed the exit, but I had to go to the outdoor mall, right? Because I had to grab Bianca a birthday present and I needed sunglasses because I lost every pair I've ever had. Not that this is very boring. Anyway, point being, all these, like, toddlers, like, every baby that cries, like, I get this impulse to kidnap children now. And it's weird. Like, whenever I'm not with Sabrina and I hear these children crying or laughing or making any sound that sounds even remotely like this, a Sabrina sound, I'm like, oh, I gotta take that baby. Like, it makes me miss her and want her.
Well, you know, and we had such a nice night, too. We, like,
it was really
had
cool.
a really nice dinner, and we had deep talks about things that were
oh,
not
God. Things
really
got
about
deep.
Kids. Yeah.
Things got – they got deep.
I feel
deep.
Like that's the other thing, too, is, like, as a parent, you realize, like, so many of your conversations revolve around what the baby is eating or isn't eating or is sleeping or is not sleeping or, you know, it's, like, everything. And so it was nice to have, like, really adult conversation tonight and just talk about things about ourselves. And, you know, get a little tipsy. That was fun. Like, today by the pool. And, I mean, you know.
I love when your sister was like, oh, yeah, our three topics tonight at dinner were the three Ds.
Divorce.
Death. And destiny.
And destiny.
Men are like, oh, God. Any dads out there are like, oh, my God, these pathetic women. Like, really? This is your weekend off? You're like, cuddled up in bed doing your podcast, and you talk about death, divorce, and destiny at dinner? What a wild night.
And we also had, like, such big aspirations to, like, go out and go dancing. And, like, after dinner, everyone was like, let's go eat some cake and go to bed.
We ate so much cake.
So much cake.
I think you said you're going to throw up.
I did. Oh,
and so then cool. I pushed the plate as far away as I could, and Bianca saw that, and then my arm just, like, would reach further and further for the plate, and I polished it.
I saw it. It's empty. That plate has no more cake.
It was licked.
Well, we're going to go to bed. We'll do some more tomorrow. I feel like it was a little bit of a downer, but I think it's the reality of, like,
don't worry, guys. We'll have coffee in the morning. We'll be buzzing.
We'll be peppy. Yeah. And we'll talk. Maybe we'll talk with Hillary a little bit about.
Okay, Bianca.
Yeah.
Don't get handsy with me tonight.
That's right.
Guys, I mean, not to be a whiner. But I really tried so hard to sleep in this morning, and, like, my biorhythm or whatever is just now set to early crack ass of dawn. Even with your darkened shades.
Yeah, we both got up at 7. We thought we were going to sleep in, and we got up at 7. And you can't just lay there anymore.
And also, like, I had a little bit of a hangover, and I had a little bit of a candy hangover because we ate so much, like, cake and Peeps that Ellie brought and so many fun things. And then it's hard, man. I'm such a whiner because you, like, are like, freedom for a weekend, and then you just don't treat yourself all that well because you're so excited. And, like, I feel like it might have been better.
It's like a kid in a candy store.
Yeah, totally.
And then we just pass out exhausted.
So we just had a really lazy day today, which was awesome. By the pool, we had some good girl talks. And
I know, man, Bianca, with you, it's like things are, it's like a good exfoliation of the soul.
It totally is. Well, it's hard because I think that, like, as new mamas, especially, and I'm curious to see, it'd be interesting to hear from some of our viewers, because you can see us, some of our listeners who are, you know, mamas of two or three or more kids, to see if, like, you go through this every time you have a kid where you kind of have this forgetting of yourself and you immerse yourself so much in this new experience of this new child that then, like, for me, you know, one of the things is I've really kind of run lax on my meditation schedule. And I just noticed, like, I noticed I'm so much more sensitive and reactive to things, and so it was so great because we were sitting by the pool and I was just, like, talking about a couple different things and just a little bit of self-loathing going on, and Ali was like, let's meditate now. And so she pulled out that
the Buddhify app, which I mentioned in the Sleep Easy Solution episode as my mom session.
And it was so awesome because the one that we listened to was, like, perfectly kind of geared towards the moment that we were in. It was just like kind of holding the space and realizing what the feeling you're feeling is. So if you're angry or if you're fearful or if you're
anxious,
jealous, any of those things, and naming it. And then also naming whatever you're feeling in your body, whether it be tension, whether it be tightness, whether it be.
I think that's so cool how I'm going to sit up. We're on the bed right now. So if you're hearing weird crinkling sounds, we're sitting on a bed. It's amazing to me how every emotion has a corresponding feeling somewhere in your body.
Yeah. So, like, so for you in that moment, what was today? What
it's
was it?
It's always my gut.
Oh, yeah. I feel
if it's anything negative, it's always in my gut.
Yeah.
It's a tightness.
I felt that it was in my gut. And then I also felt, like, a pounding, which probably is just the insane amount of sugar coursing through my veins right now. And then, but then it said, you know, after you acknowledge what the feeling is, as far as anger, fear, jealousy, whatever, and then you acknowledge where it sits in your body, and then you look at the fact that you're on top of those two things, judging yourself for feeling the way that you're feeling. So you are already taking negative emotions and feelings, and then you're piling on more negativity because then you're making yourself feel bad for feeling those things. And just allowing it to be and letting it go. And it was really
allowing yourself to giving yourself the space to feel the feelings without judging them.
Yeah.
So we did that by the pool and it was great. And then it stopped. And it's funny because the app, it's this sexy British sounding voice. And then he'll, like, pause for a minute while you sort of settle into it. And then he'll start talking again. So we thought it was another pause. When really my iPhone had fried in the sun, so it was doing one of those, like, heat temperature warnings. It was like, it shut down.
It's so hot here. It's like 100 degrees today.
At least.
And I burned the crap out of myself because I normally, you know, in my childless life, I would go to the beach all the time. And I don't do that anymore. So I also, like, work a lot too now. So I fried. And
what if you ever did an episode, so Undateable takes place in Detroit. If you ever showed up to set super tan, would you get in trouble if it was
I don't know. I went to Puerto Rico over Christmas. I was a little bit tan. But
and
you
they
know
didn't
what?
Care.
Well, I just don't get that tan anymore because traveling with a kid, you're not, like, lounging about in the sun all that much. I'm, like, in the shade and slathering sunscreen on her, which then I just kind of in turn put it on me. But
I loved it because I was like, Bianca, your shoulder's a little red. And you're like, yeah, I know. And then you came back.
I had to go pumping. I had to go back to the hotel room and pump.
And check on the cake.
Check on the cake. Check, a.k.a. eat on the cake.
And come back and you were so mad. My shoulder is so burnt.
So red.
I love when I try to take the caretaker. It's so hard. I love it. What else? Oh, I was just watching, because this is what I do on my day of vacation. I put on PBS. And there's some documentary on right now. And they talk about how in the early 1900s, when people came to this country and they had nothing, they would go to a photography studio and borrow clothes, nice clothes, to put on to take a photograph to send back to their families in their home country so their families would think that everything was going well for them. Oh, and then they would just, like, give the clothes back at the end of the photo shoot and go back to their squalor. And it made me think of Instagram.
Oh my God. It's like it was.
Like, maybe that's it. Maybe. Because it also reminds me of, like, when I was younger and my parents would come to visit and this sort of crazy need to pick up everything. I mean, it was a nice thing to do anyway when your parents come. But from this, like, I want them to know everything's okay. And so I wonder if some of Instagram is about that. Like, we're having a good time. I mean, obviously, a lot of times we just want to share happy stuff. It was so funny because it was like the Instagram of Ellis Island.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
And we've been looking at a lot of Instagram on this trip. I end up going back and just looking at photos of my daughter. I've become like a crazy person in this one day away from her. I just keep looking at photos of her.
It's hard. It's such a weird phenomena. I mean, we like came at this like so excited and like, woohoo, girls gone wild. Ali and Bianca on the loose. And then like last night was like this kind of, you know, letdown of like we crawled into bed and we were just missing our babies. And, you know, I mean, it's hard to... How much do you think of that also, though, is the fact that, like, we've come here, we've eaten crap, we've drank a lot of stuff, alcohol-wise. I mean, like, not crazy amounts, but, like, we're sitting by the pool sipping drinks and, mm-hmm. you know, you're putting things in. We're normally so health conscious and, you know, so aware of what we're eating. And now you come and you don't treat yourself very well. And so I think part of it too is like...
But is, okay, how about isn't... Sorry, finish your point.
No, that was kind of my point.
Before I jump in on it. So I want to say that in treating ourselves poorly, that's treating ourselves well. Because we never really let ourselves off the hook. And why not... When in Rome, like when poolside.
And I'm not saying not to do it, but I'm just saying, like, I think you feel, like, in my family, we always call it feeling precious. I feel a little precious. Like, when you would wake up the next morning and you'd have a hangover or you'd eat too much, you say, I feel precious. Because it's just that feeling of, like, you just want to be held and you just want someone to, like, take care of you. And so I think, like...
That's when I, like, want to... That made me feeling like a gopher. Like, I just want to go crawl in a hole.
Yeah, well,
like,
yeah.
Feeling precious would be, like, getting a manicure. And you know what? Poolside drinking... No, that's the precious part for me. The eating cake and like doing the indulgence.
No, but you're thinking of precious like in the word of like, oh, it's so precious, it's so special, it's just something. I'm saying precious in like the definition where precious is you're so precious, like if someone touched you, you might break. Like it's like you're so precious that it's that anything is noise is too loud. Everything is too over the top. Like you just want the little things that make you feel good. So I think when you're feeling a little precious mm-hmm. like that, you tend to think like, oh, my daughter, I miss my daughter. Mm-hmm. I miss my husband or I miss, you know, whatever. It's just whatever. We're losers. We go on away to get away. And
come on. We're going to have fun. I put on the music last night.
Yes.
I forced everyone into sort of dancing.
Yes.
I just danced by the pool. I am trying to make you have the best birthday of your life.
Oh my gosh. And I've been having such a good time. That's the me thinks thou dost protest too much.
What?
That's like, I'm having such a great time.
Oh, come on. Have a good time.
I am having a good time.
If you want to cradle me, I'll be Magnolia. Like, whatever you need. It's your birthday.
Happy secret. It's very bizarre, this notion of, like, kind of diarying our little getaway here. Because, I mean, are people going to just think that we're, like, these losers who just go and, like, yes. All we do is think about our kids? I just want to be
There's probably worse things.
Yeah, like what?
Like, what if we were, like, what kids? It's a mom podcast. Oh, I have a feeling people will be okay with us missing our children. Here's the other thing.
Yeah, but
you're not letting yourself out. You woke up. Can we talk a little bit about the sleep situation last night and your feelings about
yeah,
it?
Yeah, totally.
Okay, I'll let you share because I don't need to share your stories.
Well, just that I'm still struggling a little bit with the sleeping situation at home because Magnolia still goes down in her crib. And then when she finally wakes up, she comes into our bed and co-sleeps the rest of the night. Except now, as I told in the Sleep Easy Solution podcast, now she's decided that she's going to go down at 7 and she's going to wake up at 8 and 9 and 10 and 11. And I just can't, like, I'm not there yet to do the whole cry it out, you know, sleep training. And I know that the lady said that their idea of cry it out is like you put them in the crib and you just shut the door and you don't interact with them. But like
that's not Jennifer Wahlberg.
That's not Jennifer's. Right. That's what they think of when they think of cry it out is that they're, you know, you're abandoning this child.
Which, by the way, there's a crazy New York Times blog out this past week. I'll put it up on the Facebook page. That's crazy that one doctor saying at 8 weeks old to just leave the kid for 2 days crying from 7 to 7.
What?
Yeah, it's a I think he's a German doctor. Go figure. So I think that's for 8 weeks old.
And listen, like
would be cry out.
As with everything, you know, I'm not judging anyone who chooses to do that. I'm just saying I'm not there yet. I can't do any version of that. I can't do any version of, like, I was telling Ellie this morning. So anyway, so this actually makes sense is that I feel guilty because now I'm away having this fun weekend and my poor husband and my mom who are staying, you know, my mom's staying in the house while I'm gone to help take care of Magnolia, were up all night because she won't sleep. And especially now that I'm not there for her to sleep within the bed, she just didn't sleep last night. And so they both had a really long, hard night. And so I woke up this morning and I felt really guilty about it.
And she has this app that we mentioned earlier where she can track Magnolia's movements throughout the night, so she can be like, oh, well, this was the hour they put her back down again. This was the, I mean, it is cray,
I literally could
cray.
See every move that happened throughout the night.
I should just take your phone away. But I have a feeling you would beat my ass.
I know. And I do it to myself. But I also feel bad and that's my own issue. And so it's like, you know, I feel like I'm in this little guilty spot right now where it's like, I'm not ready to just put her in her crib and kind of do the check-ins and have her, you know, figure out how to kind of fall asleep on her own. I don't feel like I can stomach that yet. And yet at the same time, I'm having, you know, remorse because now other people are suffering because of my inability to kind of get with the program. I do also feel like I'm trying to be gentle with myself because, you know, I had a really good friend. Hi, Becca, who listens to our podcast, who I went to high school with, sent me an amazing message on Facebook. And she said, you know, I've been listening to the podcast and I just want you to know, like, I went through a very similar situation with my two boys. And, you know, I think now her boys are like 3 and 5. And she said they're awesome sleepers. And she said, you just have to, you know, trust your gut. And, you know, and I guess, like, that's all I have, right? And that's what we talk about time and time again. It's like, I can only do what I feel comfortable doing in a situation with my kid. And, you know, I'm listening to everybody's advice and I'm really trying to think it through. And
but maybe we don't think it through. I can't say this without, like, I can't take myself seriously. We don't think it through. We're going to feel it through.
I think you've gotten a little too much sun today.
Guys, I really didn't drink. Okay, I had one drink, but that was 5 hours ago. I'm incredibly dehydrated. Okay, listen. So here's the thing. How about mama's guilt? Okay, this is the topic that we have landed upon in our diaries of a vacay. A mama vacay.
Mama's guilt.
Mama's guilt.
Yeah.
Well, we eat cake. That's a good solution. What else do we
to
do?
Deal, what, we're talking about what to deal with.
Yeah, how do we deal with mama's guilt?
Well, I
order presents for her on Amazon. I eat cake.
I mean, I think maybe, too, it's, like, good to – I think these kind of little steps away are really good to reassess and to – sometimes, you know, you can't see the forest from the trees. I think sometimes you're so in it that, like, it's really hard to kind of see how hard it is and how much you're going through and how much you're kind of taking on and how many – you're making decisions for the whole family – because really, you know, the mom's the hub and she's doing everything unless you're a dad out there who's a stay-at-home dad or the, you know, the main caretaker and then you're the hub. I think kind of what Ellie and I came down to today is everything is going to be okay.
Everything is okay.
Everything is okay.
See, what everyone didn't realize is that I'm the closeted guru. Everything is okay. In this moment, everything, well, it's more than okay. It's fantastic.
Well, and I think what this is what point I want to make right here. Because you guys, to be perfectly honest, I'll tell you something. Right now I'm feeling a little weird because I feel like normally our podcasts are like very kind of put together and you know, we're very honest and we talk about what's going on, but I feel very vulnerable right now because I feel like a little wimpy and I kind of feel like I'm opening up and showing a very unsure side of myself. Right. So I think I'm having a little bit of self-loathing, which is like because I feel like there's a lot going on and I'm mad at myself that I'm not able to kind of pull it together and hold it together. And so I think what, you know, maybe the point of this coming out right now is to just like share something that maybe if, you know, you have moments where you feel that way and it's hard because it's hard when you get down on yourself about things, you know, it's hard to escape yourself.
When you're like in persecution mode with yourself, it's like, how do you run away from that?
Yeah.
It's so difficult.
And something that we talked about today when we were sitting in the pool is like the irony of like we're in this beautiful place and we're like having such a good time and I'm like in a place where I'm struggling right now with a few things going on and then I get mad at myself because I think like this is so stupid. Like I have such a fantastic life. Like who am I to sit and wallow in this? This is so dumb.
Who am I to sit and wallow in this 70 degree saltwater pool?
with my drink in my hand and some of my best girlfriends by my side. Here. And
yeah, but you know what? It's okay. Because this is the problem always is our judgments of our feelings, right?
Yeah.
And then that's why we spiral. Well, if we could just allow ourselves to have our feelings, be like, oh, I feel shitty that such and such is going on without feeling shitty about feeling shitty about it. God.
Yeah, but it used to be.
We'd be able to like move on more easily.
Totally. But also it used to be that like if I felt shitty, it was just me and I could like crawl into my bed and pull the covers over my head and like cry or watch a sappy movie or like I kind of had like this manifesto of a day that I could do when I felt like crap and I could sit in the pity and sit and wallow in what was going on. It's like now when I have some things going on that don't make me feel like a very good person, then I still have this little person who's depending on me. Right. And then on top of that, when I try to like go do something nice for myself, then I just feel guilty because I feel like I'm doing something nice for myself and yet it's making it harder for other people who are trying to step up and take care of things on the home front so that I can have a good time. And now I'm not really having a good time because I'm thinking about all of that.
Let's take a breath. I hear you. I mean, that's why it's good just to get in the shower and have a good cry. Right?
Yes.
Because we can still cry. Yeah. Moms are allowed to cry. It's good to cry.
Yeah.
It releases tension. I mean, people masturbate or cry. I'm more of a crier. I choose crying. or in our car. You can sit in your car. This is for anyone who can't get away, can't have a day to do their stuff. There are, once the baby's asleep, you can have that hour to decompress.
Yeah. And also sometimes I think it's hard to even pinpoint what's wrong.
I know.
You know, I think sometimes
it's hormones.
Sometimes it's hormones. Sometimes it's just like you've got so much put on you all the time and you get to a place where you just, it's like you can't even get to the bottom of what's happening. You're just like, I feel like crap and
don't you think that like you're coming off of, at least in my family with the Undateable premiere and stuff, there's been like so much energy. Because those of you who don't know, my husband created the show Undateable that Bianca is the female star of. And I don't know how, it feels like after prom or something. Like it's exciting. The show is on right now.
Yeah.
But there's this crazy force of energy for the buildup for the premiere. And now it's like, okay, cool, this is still going on. There's a lot going on still. But that release of tension. And I don't know if you felt any of that because you've been doing a ton of press for it. I mean, you've been doing a lot of work.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a lot. I think I think sometimes you're just in go mode and you don't even stop. And so, like, it makes sense that the first point, which is this little vacation.
Of course.
That I've had to, like, stop for a second. It's like everything, all the, like, it's all descended upon me now. It's like how when you're going and then you finally get sick when you like go on a vacation because your body's finally like, oh, now I have time to take care of myself. And I'm as red as a lobster right now. I mean, come on. So yeah, you're right. Because it's like the, you know, when you throw a huge party or something. And
I know, like, it's after, the day after. It's the day after. It's just like,
yeah.
It's always like that.
Yeah. I used to get that way when I was little on vacations. Like when we would go on a big vacation as a family and my dad worked so much that like we would come home and then he would have to be at work again. And it would be that like the quiet all of a sudden we'd come home and it would have been this amazing camping trip or we'd gone somewhere really cool as a family. And as a 10-year-old kid, we get horrifically depressed because it's like, oh, now it's back to the mundane, you know. Here we go.
Yeah, me too. And I don't think I knew why.
Yeah.
But that's it. It's funny because it's like babies with transitioning. And then we're adults. This is transitions for us. And it's difficult. Yeah. Like even shifting gears to come here, right? Just for 2 days. That's a transition. That's a different.
Yeah.
You're going into a different type of experience.
Yeah.
I mean, I really hope that you weren't like, oh, I thought this would be a really fun weekend, but I brought Ellie.
Well, now that you mention it, Ellie, you've been a real buzzkill.
With the podcast.
With the podcast.
Pushing the podcast. Pushing. Guys, we got
mush, big, mush.
Mush, mush. Somebody's coming.
Oh, my God. If anything, I've been so glad you've been here because I think, like, it's been great. We haven't even had, you know, we should have Hillary weigh in on this,
yes.
I think. This is a good, because she has, like, you know, the twins and Elle. And, like, I mean, we.
Hillary, yeah, we mentioned at the beginning of this
one
intro.
One child.
I know we have nothing. It's easy breezy.
It's easy
right?
breezy. Yeah. We'll wait until the podcast hits when we both have our second.
Yeah.
Maybe like, hell were we whining about?
We'll have to Skype into each other. We won't be able to see each other anymore. I had the opportunity to see two babies recently whose mothers are amazing women who listen to the podcast. And it was really cool. It's so groovy. And what was really fun is one of them is a friend, but I haven't seen her in over a year. She married someone I used to work with a lot and was friends with.
Yeah.
And so, but she reached out to me after listening to the podcast and she's amazing and she's super hardcore awesome. And I swung by her house and she had been so busy. I don't want to share too much, I guess, but like she does catering. And she's such a badass. And, like, she'll cook at night and listen to the podcast. And she said that our baby recognized my voice.
Oh, that's sweet.
That's awesome. So I thought it was really cool. And she – I mean, I just – and then I saw another friend who had a baby, like, a week and a half ago. And we met after she started listening to the podcast through a mutual friend. And – To hold a newborn baby was so wild. They're so tiny.
It's crazy how quickly you forget, isn't it?
So tiny.
Yeah.
Like the tiniest tiny. I was doing the happiest baby on the block. They're like, shh. And I was like, oh, this is so fun. It's so fun when you're not in it. That's all I gotta say. Now that I have a 1.5-year-old, you're like, ah, because Sabrina's in a really good stage right now, and it's amazing because I see these little babies and I just want to hug them and hold them and steal them for a day. And you're, and it's just like, oh, I just wish the moms could get 12 hours of sleep and then enjoy their baby at that stage. Yeah. It's so unfair.
By the way, and that's the other thing. It's like you go away or you go and do something for yourself and then your significant other sends you like pictures of what they're doing. And then it's like, oh my God, I miss that. And when you're in it, when you're at home, like right. doing the day, like it doesn't seem as cool as when like you get the pictures of them doing it and you're like, right. I'm missing that.
Right.
So it's like the ultimate FOMO. Yeah.
Yeah. Adam sent me a picture of Sabrina this morning on her way to her little gym class. She was wearing patent leather black shoes, like church shoes, that he said she made him put on her. And then these tribal green leggings and this elephant shirt. So I guess it's like kind of similar theme, but totally mismatching crazy land and a red bow in her hair. And I want people on Facebook, if you're comfortable,
yes, this
please
is great.
Post on our Facebook page the crazy outfits that your partner puts your kids in.
Yes.
Because I would love to. We should start an Atomic Moms. We should start like an Atomic Moms Tumblr page of like a daddy stylist, like the crazy outfits yeah. that your kids end up
this
wearing
is a great
in
idea.
Public.
Let's do this. We'll start this with the day yeah. that this airs and
because
we'll get
it's
a,
wild.
We'll get this going.
I was like, oh my God. She had diaper. The pants are too tight now, and she had like diaper camel toe.
On that note, I'm gonna go cry in the shower.
Oh, yeah.
We'll be back. Okay, so you guys, we're back.
It's been about an hour since we last podcasted. You know what this feels like? Real world. When they go into the closet, it's like a confession.
The closet confessional.
Yeah.
Or they just call it the confessional.
Yeah, that's what this is like.
It is like it. So here's what happened. So we finished that last little recording thing, and then I went to go take a shower, and it's like in a little downward spiral of just like, I can't figure out why I'm feeling so like... Like, first of all, I had like a little shame spiral about sharing all of that because I just felt like it didn't really make sense. And I'm like, why am I feeling so down and just going through all this stuff? And this is supposed to be a fun weekend. And now all of these things are coming up. So I went and took the shower and then I started thinking about my breastfeeding. And then I came out and I started talking to Ellie and I realized that I have dropped pretty much 3 or 4 feedings during the day in the last 2 weeks, and I'm having weaning depression, and it like hit me, and I started researching on my phone while Ellie was in the shower, and she came out, and I was like, it just is such an aha moment, because I think it's so weird, you just don't even realize you're in that place, and then I just started thinking about how I've felt really down, and I haven't felt like myself, and I've just felt like, just really... like hard on myself about stuff. And that's totally what it is. Cause you said you went through that, right?
Yeah. And I think it was cool that you found this. There's a blog called Cup of Joe and she wrote about weaning depression, and it's a postpartum depression that happens when you stop nursing. And I felt it hardcore. A lot of the mothers in my Mommy and Me group suffered it. We just got together for the first time in a really long time last week, and everyone was like, oh my God, no one told us after we stopped nursing how awful it would be. And I stopped nursing a little bit after Sabrina's first birthday. And I wonder, you know, some moms get wild with the first birthdays. Some of those, sometimes I think it might be that, the weaning.
Oh, maybe because that's
first
around
birthday.
The time
around,
that most
yeah,
people.
Or some people. So... we'll put up this blog post, but it's good because it's such a shocker. No one tells you about it. No one tells you that it's such a hormonal roller coaster. You think you get to a year and then you're going to have your freedom. And for me, it was like, oh, I was getting 12 hours of sleep at night. What is wrong with me? Like, why am I so upset? Why am I so anxious? Why am I so fearful?
Well, and the thing is, I had heard a little bit, but again, not many people talk about it, but I just had heard when everyone stops. I'd never heard that. I didn't even think of the fact
that I've now, so basically the last time I feed her, breastfeed her in the morning is like 9 a.m. And then I don't feed her again breastfeeding until 6. So that's all those feedings are day. And I just didn't even think that.
And
that
used to do it on command. On command. You know what? It should be on command because that's what it really is.
Especially now where she just takes my shirt and pulls it to the side. But it didn't even occur to me that that could have been the reason why. And I just thought, like, there's so much demands from work and I'm going through all this stuff. But in the back of my mind, I was just like, why am I not as happy as I'm, you know? Yeah. So then I kept like, I mean, literally go back and listen to that last part of our podcast and look at the excuses that I was making.
This is our version of cereal. Like, we're uncovering the mystery of sadness.
And I like, there's a part of me that feels such relief in realizing that. But then there's a part of me that also, here we go. There's going, like, has harmless. Such sadness about it because number one, I feel like I've just been irritable and not myself. And number two, it's sad because it makes me realize that it's not just a mental thing. It's also, you know, this biological thing, but like that the whole thing of stopping feeding your child is so intrinsically connected to you and your body. And, you know, and then it's like, I realize like the whole thing does make me sad. Like those moments, and who knows, I don't really have a time frame for where I'm going to totally stop. I mean, she's still into it to a certain extent, and I obviously am. But even just this little bit has clearly affected me on a very deep level. Yeah, it's a huge shift. And I didn't even prepare myself for that because I didn't know.
People would ask me before I stopped nursing, and they'd be like, well, are you going to be okay with that? It's such a change not having that form of intimacy with your child, that connection. And I thought that a lot of the sadness would come from that. I was okay with that after a year. Like, I felt good without that with her. So I was shocked by how chemical it was. That I had spent a couple months weaning. I was smart about it. Like, I was slow about it. And it's still, like, once I stopped, it hit me so hard. And I didn't, it wasn't because of the loss of connection. It was hormones.
Yeah. Yeah. So yours was,
That it's still that strong.
Yeah.
Even if you're able to take out because she would still cuddle with me and read and do other, you know, that was fine.
Yeah.
Because she was losing interest at that point, which I also thought was, I've found with Sabrina that when she loses interest in something, that's the time for me to pull it. Like when she lost interest in her pacifier, I don't remember how many months old she was, but once she didn't care about the Wubbanub, it was like, okay, Wubbanub disappears because I don't really want to re...
Is that the name you made up for it?
No, it's... Oh, Wubbanub is got to be a mom session.
Really?
Yes.
It's Why haven't you heard of this?
I don't Wubbanub. Know. How do you have a mom podcast and you haven't heard of Wubbanub? Okay. Wubbanub is... There are these little stuffed animals that are attached to the pacifier.
Oh,
does Maggie have it?
Maggie has one, yeah. Magnolia's never been into her pacifier at all, but now I know what you're talking about. I just didn't know that's what it's called, yeah.
Because some babies have a harder time, then they grow attached to the pacifier and it's harder to get away from that. Like, if they lose interest, man,
you just
ditch
it. Take it, yeah.
Give them a teddy bear.
Take that cue.
Rub that teddy bear all over your body so it smells like you instead.
I have to tell you something. It's crazy how the downward spiral of this trip resulted in this aha moment for me of realizing that what I'm experiencing is a little
postpartum
connected to the weaning. I know.
It's mammoth. Like, oh, my voice just cracked. Like, every episode, we should have a drinking game. Like, when Ellie's voice cracks, or we say, or
whatever.
Whatever. take a drink there. Next week on our podcast, we have an amazing professional organizer who's going to tell us how to get our home ship shape,
yeah,
and how it'll help organize our inner life as well.
And we'll probably have a couple more pop-ins here before.
Oh yeah, don't go anywhere, guys.
We're gonna
have more sugar. It's gonna get super wild.
A few more drinks, and we're going out to dance.
Yay!
Hey guys, we're back. We are still in Palm Springs. It is about 12 a.m. We got Bianca out of the hotel room. And
I feel a lot better now. I had a dinner with friends.
Her sister braided her hair.
She did, so I felt extra special when I went out. Now we're back at the hotel and we're...
I think my teeth are rotting out of my head from the sugar.
We've eaten so much candy. It's insane. And not only just candy, but also like drinks that are sugary.
We may end the podcast tonight because who knows what'll happen tomorrow morning when we wake up in terms of hangover,
yeah.
Sugar hangover. It's like Halloween hangover.
No, we'll do one last hurrah. Okay. It may not be coherent, but it will be something.
Yeah.
Tomorrow.
And we're co-sleeping again tonight, which I'm very excited about.
I think you tried to cuddle a little bit last night. I felt you creeping in on me. We have some friends in the bed with us right now. We have.
Sounds so.
Well, we're sitting on their bed. We're actually in their room before we go back to our room,
which also sounds sexual.
Yeah.
Please retreat.
But say hello to a previous friend of the Atomic Moms podcast, Hillary Stamm. Hillary Stamm, everybody.
Bonjour, mes amis.
And a new
bilingual podcast.
A newbie is good old Cat Master.
Hi, guys. Or hola, because I just got back from Mexico.
Yeah, our jet setter. Anyway, we thought we'd check in with Hillary on how this trip has been for her to be away from her kiddos since she has. If you remember, twin boys who are now how old?
Gosh, almost a year and a half. It's going so fast. But not yet. And a 3-year-old. And the 3-year-old's more work than the twins. So there you have it.
3-year-old
girl
than the twin boys.
So now this is live in perpetuity somewhere. So she will hear someday that she was more work. And she probably already knows that.
So at this point,
at this moment in time.
So you checked in.
I did a little check-in as the sun was setting on the gorgeous, what are those, Kat? Tawquitz Canyon Mountains?
Tawquitz Canyon.
Namaste. So I did a little check-in, and, it's the witching hour. I call, and the babies are screaming. My rock star husband's with all three. He puts the 3-year-old on the phone. She says, "Where are you? Where are you? I was looking for... Hi, Mommy, I miss you and I love you, but I got, where are you? When will you be back?" Then when I told her where I was, she said, "Well, I'll just come. I want to come to Palm Springs. I'll come there." So that's not what I was looking for. So I just want to throw that out to all those Atomic Moms out there that, sometimes you put out into the ether, "Oh, hey, I need a little love back." And maybe that's not what they're going to give you. So, yeah, sometimes you got to stay strong.
But see, I feel like she did give you the love in that she wanted you there.
That's right.
Like she wanted in. When I did FaceTime, I did FaceTime at 6:45 tonight. She goes down at 7. She didn't pay any attention. She was iced me out. She was looking at her books.
Yeah.
And I know it was on purpose. That's a bummer.
Now, Miss Catmaster, my question for you is, you do not yet have children.
No.
We will see what shall happen in the future.
I'm kind of contemplating now after this little... L episode. I'm teasing.
Now, so when you're...
Maybe you don't need kids.
When you're out with us, on a night like tonight, and we're all basically completely taking over dinner with videos and pictures of our kids, how annoying, on what level of annoying is that for you?
I'd say it's a 0.
Okay, well, that's good.
Because
that makes you feel better.
I love kids. I heard all old people love kids, and since I'm old... That's why I love to see it, I love babies. I love dogs. I got some fur babies shown to me tonight. So
yeah.
I'm happy. It doesn't annoy me at all. I'm happy for my friends. I knew them before they had kids. I know them now. They're like little pieces of them, and I'm happy that they...
That's nice.
...that they want to share it with me.
I like that. Little pieces of them. That's...
It's a part of who you are now.
That's salient, Kat, after a quick... Return from Mexico.
Spritz.
That's in the spritz. That's salient with a capital S.
Hillary, any words of advice? Because you do have, like Ellie and I were saying, that we're kind of whiners because we each only have one child, and obviously we
don't be so greedy, Jesus.
What do you mean?
I don't have any.
Yes, that's true.
That's true.
I'll take one.
But any tips or? thoughts on the weekend getaways, the girl, you know, nights out. Because it's hard.
Yeah,
it's hard for people to get out there and
Don't you think? The universe only gives you what you can handle at the moment in time you can handle it, right? So even if it's one child or seven, or it's a husband who's driving you crazy or is perfect, find the time to carve out a little time with the other people who help you remain sane, right?
Yeah.
Whatever that is. And maybe you can't get all the way to Palm Springs, but maybe you can get down to... My daughter likes to read these books, Fancy Nancy, and they go to the King's Crown. She's like, why don't we all just head down to the King's Crown? So maybe you need to head down to the King's Crown.
What is that? Is it a bar?
It's a child's book. It sounds like a fantastic English pub that I'd like to frequent.
Happy hour.
But I'm saying head down there with your friends for even if it's only 45 minutes.
No, one beer. 8 o'clock at night.
Because, right? Sometimes I think, like, even this, doesn't this feel gluttonous? Because we are away from them for 36 or 48 hours.
Well, and the funny thing is we actually, the place we're staying at, we could be at until 5 p.m. tomorrow, but everybody is, like, you'll see our cars shooting off in the distance probably at the crack of dawn because we're just ready.
I said that to my mom.
Yeah.
I said... I'm going out there straight from Mexico, and she asked me when I was coming back, and I said, I'm probably going to come back early because everyone has kids and everyone wants to go home and see them, and I totally respect that. I understand that 100%. I would want to see my little,
your little
Bella, my little Maggie Moo, my little Sabrina, too. So.
Yeah,
I know. Well, I totally forgot what I was going to say because there was something that you said that made me think of something and now I can't remember what. And it's probably a little too much whiskey this
weekend. Wait, the Crown. What's the Crown bar?
King's Crown.
King's Crown. I got to read that now. I'm obsessed with Olivia.
Oh, Olivia's fantastic. Yeah.
Oh, my God. That book. It's so good. It's about a pig and she's basically Eloise as a pig.
Yeah, it's like Eloise as a pig. I only have one earplug, so... Kat, if you could not snore into my left side.
Do you always use earplugs?
No, only when I travel because sleep is so decadent when you're not home. So I would love to keep chatting, but sleep is calling my middle name.
So here's...
Wait, sorry, really fast.
Yeah.
Allie, did you hear she's kicking us out?
I know, but this is where
you need a new earplug, too, by the way. That thing that looks
one,
like the early 2000s.
I think I took this earplug to Portugal.
I'm pretty sure you probably went and shot some clay pigeons with that thing.
That was in the bottom of your purse.
I have some for you.
What were you going to ask me about the earplug?
So you wear earplugs in hotels.
But not at home. Because
is it silent at home?
Because
you don't have like
it's not silent, but I have to hear the babies if someone cries. But
right.
I feel like this is my time to get rest. So I don't want to hear Kat over here.
I'm going to gift you these two.
I was just gifted what appears to be a new
earplug. That's friendship, everyone. Friendship right there.
Now, do you want these back?
I have a boyfriend who snores. They travel all the time with them.
Okay.
All right, well, we're going to...
this is a wild Saturday.
It really was.
I now have three earplugs. One that's been to Portugal, two that have not.
Oh, no. We went to Mexico, but they weren't used.
All right.
They weren't used and hung out to dry.
The world-weary traveled earplugs.
We'll see you all down at the King's Crown.
So listen... Here's my little wrap up of this. Although we will check in the morning, is that even though like
what I got a midnight?
Oh my god, she's crying. She's laughing so hard. Thank you for being a part of our podcast this evening.
Yes, thank you too.
No problem.
And you know what? I just want to say thanks for helping my girls' weekend end on a high note because I went through a little bit of a downward spiral the last 24 hours.
Oh, no.
Kat, I didn't even fill you in because you got here a little bit late, but we figured out a little bit of some breastfeeding blues going on.
Oh, no.
My weaning off of the
little
breastfeeding.
Little hormones, maybe?
Little hormonal stuff going on. And so it wasn't the girls' weekend I thought it was going to be, but it ended up being really great in many other ways. And this kind of wrapped it up nicely, a little stupid laughter
good.
At the end of it all. It's always
good.
Helpful.
Always helps.
All right. And look at her. I want you to say it.
No, I was going to get into a big thing, and we've already wrapped it up.
No,
people need to be aware that oxytocin is a powerful hormone, and that you were, you kind of stopped breastfeeding. I mean, this is not as scintillating as we're actually talking about important things now. But you were breastfeeding so much, and suddenly when you stop doing that, you're losing that happy drug, and we need to take care of each other. I went through the same thing, and we don't realize it's going to happen. And then suddenly, you know, we're crying for no reason. Yeah. It's powerful. It's powerful stuff.
Well, I'm happy you guys are going through this for me.
Yeah, no.
No, it's weird. I always say that to my mom, that women don't share these sore things with each other. And I think that's really important that you guys do that. I think it's awesome that you are.
Did you know about it, Hill?
I knew what it was. But when I was in it, I didn't realize why I was so down.
Yeah.
Until I was like, why am I?
I had no idea.
Yeah, why am I so down? Because, like you were saying today, you don't wrap your head around the fact you're still breastfeeding, so, nothing's wrong. But you are, because you're not breastfeeding at the capacity you were breastfeeding before.
I didn't even think about that.
Your hormone levels have dipped.
Yeah.
You just think, I haven't stopped breastfeeding, so nothing's wrong.
No, when I was sitting in the pool with Ellie today telling her, like, my life is great, I don't know what I'm, like,
why I'm feeling so blue.
All of these things.
Yeah.
And then I just, like, realized it. So
no, it's powerful stuff.
It was good, yeah. And, we kind of, I think, start talking about these things when dear friends go through having their own babies.
Yeah.
Or
or just, another episode.
Another episode.
Or just head on down to the King's Crown for a pint.
All right. Love you guys. Sleep tight. I'm sure I'll see you bright and early. And
we'll
be back in the morning. Stay tuned. Ciao. Hello. It's the last few hours of our crazy girlfriend's getaway.
Our girlfriend birthday getaway.
Birthday getaway.
We're both Aries.
Yeah. We get along surprisingly well for Aries. Because, maybe that's because we haven't spent a lot of time in one place together. Although this weekend was a lot and we didn't have any issues.
No. Claire Coffey, who was a guest a while back, one of my best friends, she's an Aries. I'm so attracted to Aries.
That's funny. I'm really attracted to Pisces.
What months are Pisces
before us? So they're February to March. So February, like, whatever, 20 something to March 20 something.
I'm sure you listeners can smell my coffee breath. It is 8:05 a.m.
I told Hillary, Jesus, I just need to go home and get some sleep.
Come on, pull it together.
It's not going to happen. I was telling Ellie.
You went on vacation. Sleep right now.
I know. I was telling Ellie this morning that in college, we used to have a roommate. I lived in a house with four girls and one guy on in the middle of Greek Row, in the middle of all the fraternities at Washington State University. And our one guy roommate used to wake up in the morning so hungover, and he would just say, "Where's the cat?" We'd be like, "What are you talking about? What cat? Where's the cat?" Like, we don't have a cat. He's like, "No, I want to find the cat that shit in my mouth." Drunk, hungover.
Where's the cat?
Morning breath.
Oh my God, where's the cat?
Yeah, where's the cat this morning? You guys, so it gets worse.
Oh, come on.
It gets worse. My poor mother and Michael had an even rougher night last night with Magnolia. She just would not stay down, and she's very mad at the world. But not only is she mad at me, because I also FaceTimed with her this morning.
And here's the real torture device is your drop cam.
My drop cam.
Because the first thing Bianca does when she wakes up is looks at the drop can, and she sees that Magnolia's been up every hour, and she can, like, see it.
Yeah,
and so she sees the video with it too. So you're like, this is total torture. I mean, isn't ignorance bliss? Like,
yeah, I mean, probably, but I also think that whatever, we've rehashed this 1,000 times, so I don't feel like anyone needs to hear it again, but I feel guilty. And so I check because I feel guilty, because I've been on other little getaways, and in those getaways, I haven't checked as much, but I just feel so bad that they've had such two horrible nights with her. And, you know, just, I know they're both going to be wrecked now when I go home. Mm-hmm. This drop cam. So the irony is that the drop cam is my mom's session for this episode, because it is such a useful tool, and you get it on Amazon. It's a drop cam pro. It has an app on your phone. What's great about it is it's not just a baby monitor, so you can use it for other things after you're done using it with your baby. I mean, people use it as a security device. I know online on YouTube, there's some guy that caught a
robbery, home robbery process, because what the drop cam does is it alerts the app on your phone when it detects movement. So you get a little alert, and then the other great thing is you can hold the recording as long as you want. So like I hold mine for 7 days, so it's very useful when I'm coming home and I want to know, is she still asleep in her crib? Do I need to be quiet when I come in the house? Or if I want to see, like, sometimes if, you know, Mike leaves for the day and I don't know what time she went down for her nap, I can look at it and see, oh, this is when she went down.
Does your sitter have the app on her phone too?
She does not, because we have it on our little iPad.
Okay, you have an iPad.
Yeah, I feel a little weird about somebody. Yeah, yeah. I trust her completely, yeah, but, like, you can check in and hear in the house what's going on, and so that's
right. I just ordered one, and I was thinking I'll probably keep my regular monitor for our sitter and for at night, but I'm going to keep this going so that, yeah, whenever I'm gone.
Yeah, you can. It's it's great. But you guys, but it did get so much worse because, so I checked in with my mom and Michael this morning, and not only was the night with Magnolia even worse than the night before, but in the process of her crying, our 8-year-old Boston Terrier was so pissed off that she got up on the bed, which she never is allowed into and doesn't get on, and peed on our bed. So poor Michael, after 3 hours of trying to get Magnolia to go down, went to go get back in our bed to a bed full of dog piss.
It's so horrible.
So everyone's angry. It's a riot. It's a mass. It's the mutiny on the Bounty.
The animals always do it too. They turn on you, because when Sabrina was teething once and she's crying a lot, and then Adam would get all, like, he would go help her and come back in, and he'd be tense, and our little multi-poo mutt would feel his energy or whatever, and he'd start shaking, and then he'd throw up. We were always dealing with dog throw up in our bed whenever there was unrest.
Yeah.
With the baby land. That's so horrible. Did Mike just have to strip the sheets? See, I get lazy at that point. I just give up on the world, and I just throw down a towel.
I'm sure he is pretty good. I'm sure that's 100% what he did. And you know what? I don't blame him.
No. Not at all. Towels are useful. Just, you know, turn a blind eye, throw down a towel, deal with it in the morning.
I feel like everyone's going to be a little worse for the wear after this weekend.
Like, not me. I'm tan.
I'm burned, though. I'm burned.
You look great. It looks like a tan.
Thank you. But I ate so much sugar that my stomach feels like raw from the inside out.
Yeah, that's true. I have like 5 ulcers on my tongue.
God. But you know what? And there's people out there listening to this who are like, those bitches.
Well, it's
like
Schadenfreude. I'm sure they're very happy. They're like, oh, they had it coming. Which this is what we're here for.
Exactly.
To make everyone feel better
about themselves.
Just hanging out in their kitchen, doing, you know, regular stuff, like thinking like, God, I'd love to go on a trip. And then you hear this and then you're like, you know what?
I don't need it.
Don't need it.
But you do need it. You do need it, because even though like it was really hard for my mom and Michael, with the sleep issues. And even though like I've just been really down all weekend and had a hard time kind of pulling myself up out of that, it's a break, and I'm excited to go home, and I miss her and I miss my husband, and it does give you fresh eyes on your home base.
Yes.
You know, I think like I'm excited to go like clean out my closet right now, because we sat with the girlfriends and we talked about the book that I've talked about before on the podcast.
That magical tidying book.
The life-changing magic of tidying up. And
by the way, that's our next episode. The theme is that it's going to be about organizing. So go ahead and go on iTunes and subscribe, and then it'll upload on your phone next week.
Yeah.
And they gave us a fancy link on iTunes, like the iTunes masters. They gave us a fancy link. So it's itunes.com/atomicmoms.
Yeah. And so General Van is going to be our next guest, and she is an organizational goddess. And she's changed my life already.
I'm excited. And it's like a whole, like, psychological thing too.
Yeah.
We're going to get into it.
Getting deep into your psyche. I just want to read you guys something that in my internet searches over the weekend of figuring out what's going on with me and my breastfeeding weaning depression, I found this quote, again, from one of my favorite books, Mama Zen, Walking the Crooked Path of Motherhood. And I'm so sorry. This week is going to be my mission to get these books up on our Facebook page and put some on Instagram, because I know you guys want to know about the books that we talk about and then we don't post them anywhere because we're assholes.
Hey, I'm posting a lot.
Okay.
I'm gonna hold my own there.
Ellie does post a ton. But I have a month off now from Undateable, and so I'm gonna be here and be.
And we got to get a blog up.
Just to put the stuff up on. We have a Tumblr. We could put them.
Yeah, we should do that.
The Tumblr. Okay, so this is the quote from Mama Zen Walking the Crooked Path of Motherhood. May you be tired and afraid, overwhelmed and ready to quit. Quit. Start over. Over 10,000 times over, roll out, get up, fall down, break into tears, open in laughter, sing and dance, be silly, be glad. May you forget most things, remember everything, come to know in your bones, with your blood, through your eyes, from your lips, out of earth, deep below, well beyond. You are love. You are just love. That helped me a lot this weekend.
That's beautiful.
Because the truth of the matter is that it doesn't really matter if you are depressed because you are in postpartum after giving birth, if you're depressed because you're weaning and you're going through that hormonal shift, if you're depressed because you're so fucking exhausted, any of those reasons, it doesn't change the fact that the depression feels so personal and that it feels like so much shame surrounding what you think about yourself. And it's really hard because even when you know those things, it doesn't change that it feels so much immersed within your life and that you can't remove yourself from it. And so just try to start with this idea that you are love, and even in your worst, darkest days of depression, you are still love. And you know, the best thing I ever got from somebody when I was going through a really dark time in my teens was one of my doctors actually gave me the quote that this too shall pass. And it does. Everything is temporary, everything is in flux, everything comes and goes like the tide, and you'll get through it. It will pass eventually.
And reach out to your girlfriends.
Go on a shitty-ass girlfriend's weekend, by the way. I know. I stopped myself already. I heard it come out of my mouth, and I was like, there's nothing shitty about this. Again, the shittiness was kind of brewing inside of me. Yeah. It actually was so much fun, and we had great talks at dinner, and I loved laying out by the pool, so I'm sorry. I don't mean to do that disservice to my amazing girlfriends that have been with me this whole time.
I thought, okay, you know there's that book. What's the book? It's the dating book. The Game. Okay, by Neil Strauss, right?
The Game.
And in The Game, if you're picking up a woman, you're supposed to bounce to another location that same night. Because if you go to two different locations with the person, it gives sort of extra intimacy to the meeting. Because it makes you feel like you've known them longer than you have.
Oh.
And so I feel like a girl's getaway is sort of like the bounce. Because when you go away with other people, even just for, you know, a day and a half, you get to know them in such a different way. And it was so cool for me to get to know your girlfriends better. Yeah. And there was no pretense, and like no one cared about putting on makeup. Because that's always my anxiety about ever doing a girls' weekend is like, ugh, you feel like the girls like get dressed up for each other and it's like this thing. And it felt so relaxed and everyone was just themselves. And it was really fun.
Yeah, I don't really have friends. I don't keep people around that are high maintenance, that up the stress value in life, because it's just not worth it. So all of my friends are. I never have that feeling of like when a newer friend comes into the fold, like, is there going to be friction? Is somebody going to get jealous? Is someone going to feel left out? Because everyone just really embraces everyone else, and I know they did.
I felt so embraced.
Good.
I did. I felt it. I shouldn't say that funny in a funny voice, because I did feel embraced, and it was. Now that does sound, it's totally insane, but
no, it doesn't at all.
But it was very cool, and with Sabrina at a year and a half, like I miss her a lot, but I had a great time, and that's also. It's just like wherever we are in the journey, you know. Yeah. And it's different every month. And so who knows where you are? But you know, we don't want to scare you off from trying to go out on a weekend getaway But stick with your friends. Let your friends know when there are issues because they can sense it anyway. So you might as well talk about
it. And honestly, I wouldn't have wanted to be anywhere else to kind of, I mean, it would have, like, if I was home, I would have just been doing the same thing that I had been doing, which is ruminating, like, to, you know, pouring out this kind of, oh my God, what's going on to Mike. Mm-hmm. And Mike, God love him, he's there for me in the best way that he possibly can be. But, like, he doesn't know about breastfeeding, weaning, depression. So it was only until I came here and you started talking about some stuff and I was like, wait a minute. It really, I mean, I probably wouldn't have figured it out.
And I love the idea that we can depend on our husbands, but I think it's kind of our responsibility to cultivate friendships where we can sort of support each other. Like, it shouldn't all be on the spouse.
It's in our DNA because the men went out and hunted and got the food and the women held the tribe. The women were the women stayed there and nurtured the family and held the space. And that's what we do. We hold the space for each other.
And get a tribe. Like, this is your homework for this week. Start your tribe if you haven't already. And if you do have a tribe, reach out to them. Just one little email. How are you doing? My college girlfriends, who I love to death, we hadn't been great about keeping up. And one of the girlfriends finally wrote an email. And it was a super honest, long email. And then everyone got on board. And now we know each other so much better, like, where we are at this place. And it's so good. Like, keep it up. I have a girlfriend who has a baby, and she doesn't know anyone else who has a baby that lives near her. And it's like, find a mommy and me group. Like, find, because these people make you feel so much better. And just being able to lay your baby on a blanket in the grass with another mom with a baby, it just lifts that weight off my shoulders.
Yeah, it's so important to be around. I mean, it was so nice to be with you and Hillary and even the girls here who aren't mamas yet, you know, are so kind and patient with us with our staring at our baby pictures and whatever. But it made me feel, I just didn't feel alone going through what I've been going through. And so, yeah, I think that's really important. And, you know, we'd love to hear your comments, any suggestions you have on Facebook. And you can reach out to us on Twitter. And you have a mom bomb for us.
Correct? Yeah, my mom bomb is something I wrote when I had my tumor surgery. And I wrote a piece for the Huffington Post about, they gave it a title. The title was like, Doctor Saved My Leg, Girlfriend Saved My Spirit, or something like that. They wrote the title. But anyway, it's up there if anyone wants to read it. If you just search Deli Noss. But it works for this weekend, I think. Girlfriends are essential. They love you not for who you were or who you could become, but for who you are right now.
Oh, Ellie, that's such a beautiful wrapping this weekend up with a beautiful, beautiful bow. Oh my gosh. You guys, we're packing up. We're going back to our families.
See you next week.
We love you. And remember, trust in your goodness.
Live out your greatness.
And rock on.
Atomic Moms!
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, Schlesinger. I've been friends with her for 10 years. One of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.
A few days ago, Brooke Tudine posted an inspirational quote on her wall that got 17 likes and 3 comments. Thumbs up, Brooke. Geico also wants to make a comment. In just 15 minutes, you could save hundreds of dollars on your car insurance by switching to Geico. And nothing says inspiration better than saving money. Well, except for those posters that say things like teamwork, excellence, and make it happen. Hashtag keep climbing. Hashtag savings.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.